Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Inside College Soccer. I've got another staff member with me today, and she's got an interesting journey, and she's in Florida. Hey, Karen, how are you?
I'm good, Don. How you doing?
Good. Welcome to Inside College Soccer. I don't think we've had you on yet.
No, I'm very, very excited to talk to you and to kind of get my information out there, let families know I'm here to help as much as I can.
Yeah, I wanted to start out, if we may, by maybe working around your journey a little bit. So you're living in Florida now. How'd you end up in Florida? Because you're not from Florida originally, right? Where are you from?
No, I am actually originally from Canada. So a little bit about me. I was a dual sport athlete. I played basketball and soccer from I was like 5 years old to all the way through my senior year of high school. And then the big decision was, what am I going to do in college? Am I going to play basketball or am I going to play soccer? And I chose soccer. I received multiple offers, both in Canada and the US, but I chose to come down to the US and play. My journey has been a little bit.
What made you choose soccer over basketball? You were playing both up until the age of what?
I'd say 17, 18. I played both.
Mostly through high school, you played both. You were a dual sport athlete.
Yep. Wow. So through high school, I played basketball, volleyball, and soccer in high school. Those are my high school sports. Absolutely love them. It's very different up there than down here. So there's a fall sport, a winter sport, a spring sport. I believe it was volleyball was first, then basketball, then soccer. And then I played club basketball and club soccer as well. So that was fun. But I chose soccer, had a nice discussion with my parents about what would be best for me moving forward. And we talked about it, academics, it didn't really matter where in the country, honestly, where would in the US I wanted to play, but it was mostly where I'd be happy, a coach that wanted me, not someone that says that, they're interested, but they're sending out mass emails, but someone that really wanted me. And I got recruited a coach. She specifically didn't actually see me play. A friend of hers, another coach, saw me play down here in Florida, which was funny. It was probably winter time. There was a tournament down here. I came with my club team. We came down here and we played. We did really well. We got it to the semifinals and we lost in penalties, but we did very well. And I got a phone call probably a couple of weeks later from the coach at the University of Georgia, and she wanted to see me play. She flew up to Canada and watched me play indoor soccer, which is big there in the wintertime. So we had, indoor facilities. Some were, hockey rinks that put turf on. So we got to play with boards. That was fun. And other ones were open field with, out of bounds and so forth.
What part of Canada are you from, Karen?
Just outside Toronto.
Just outside Toronto. Okay. So here you are up in Ontario, right? Mm-hmm. And coming down to the U.S., coach sees mm-hmm. you play in Florida.
Yep. And like I said, she came up and watched me play in Canada. And then I came down for a visit. I fell in love with her staff, the school, everything. Loved it all. And I came down in the fall. And that was it.
And where was this? Where'd you end up going?
I started at the University of Georgia in Athens. Okay. And then after my freshman year, that particular coach had left, moved on, and I decided to do the same thing. So I transferred from the University of Georgia to the University of Nevada, Reno, not Vegas. I have to make that perfectly
How
clear.
Did you decide? Well, that's a long way away, and that's a big cultural jump. Mm-hmm. How'd that happen?
It was more of, I have two older sisters. One is in Canada, one is in California, and I was thinking I'd kind of want to be close to family. So I was like, okay, let's see if I can maybe migrate that way a little bit. And I got a ton of interest from the University of Nevada in Reno and switched over that way in the springtime of my sophomore year. And that was it. That's where I played. We won a conference title, the only one in school history. We went to the NCAA tournament, only one in school history. I hold records for goals, assists, points, individual goals for a season, things like that. there, and I absolutely loved it. I have friends still there. I found my husband there. I had my son there, so it was wonderful.
Right on. What do you think of Reno, Nevada?
Beautiful. The campus is gorgeous. Being able to, you know, the facilities are great. The area is great. Tons to do. You're not very far from, you know, California. You're not very far from Tahoe. There's everything. That little valley is perfect. If you like to ski, snowboard, go there. If you like the water, you know, Tahoe is 45 minutes. It's beautiful.
I've never understood why they've struggled so badly to recruit there. I always thought it was a fairly easy recruit. You're one of two universities in the state, so there's a lot of research projects going through there. There's a lot of money going through there, flowing through there. And like you said, the proximity to Tahoe is you know, you're 15, 20 minutes over the hill. That's it.
Absolutely. And yeah, I'm not sure why it's been since my graduating class, it's been a little bit of a struggle. Different, you know, coaches have come in. But hopefully this season it's looking good. They're looking good in the spring. Was able to watch a little bit and talk to friends and family that are out in Reno. They were able to watch the team play. So
Did immediately, we saw at least a bump in improvement in records. So, and I've known her for quite a while. She was at Oregon with my friend Linus Rhodes. In fact, worked for SRUSA for a short while. I don't know if you know that or not. But so we're rooting for her, hoping she does well.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch them play. I'm excited for a lot of things going on. There's this young girl she's kind of bumping up in the records, and I'm excited to see her just like blow it away and just like goals, assists, everything. I'm hoping that she just dominates this season. She's going to be a senior. I'm very, very excited about that.
Right on. Very exciting. Yeah. No, it'll be good. And I'll probably make it down to be able to see a game or two. Mm-hmm. Hey, so you finish up at Reno and then what?
I moved my family back to Canada for a few years, to be up, you know, closer to my family. And I coached up there. I coached at local clubs. I've coached, you know, preteens, teens, boys, girls, recreational, competitive, individual, you name it, I've done it. So I did that up there for a little bit. And then, we came down here we came down here for a family vacation and we loved it. And my husband's like, hey, I can transfer for work. I'm like, done, let's go. Yeah, so I think maybe a year after we came for a visit, he transferred. When the kids finished school, we came down as well, and I'm not leaving. I love it.
That's great. So your husband is there working in Florida, and then you're there. What a great location. You came on board with us, I don't know, what's it been, a year and a half, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, about just over a year and a half.
Yeah. And be in Florida. What a great location to be able to see players, huh?
Oh, it's gorgeous. And the amount of soccer that is played down here, every league comes through here at some point. ECNL, ECNLR, MLS, E64, GA, EAL. Everyone comes through here. So at some point or another, I not only get to see my kids play, I get to see new kids that come through, and as well, our staff, any players that come through here, you know, they'll text or call me and say, hey, can you go out and see one of my kids? And I'm like, absolutely. Be able to go talk to their parents, see how they're doing, and then kind of, you know, report back to our staff and let them know, hey, I watched them play. And you know what else? There's another player on that team I should have a look at too. Right. So that's been good. This is a great location, and I'm based in Central Florida, but you know, it's not very far for me to go up to Jacksonville or go out to Tampa or go down to Orlando and see games. So it's this where I'm at is perfect for soccer.
Yeah, it is. And so what made you decide to make the switch from coaching to working with Sports Recruiting USA? What attracted you to this, to the process of helping families?
I think probably my own little bit of struggle. You know, the process is hard. And this was, you know, how many years ago, trying to be an international student coming down from Canada down to the US and tests and grades and the competitiveness and the different coaches trying to get, you know, coaches to come out and watch you play. You know, not anymore the social media where you can post a highlight film and whatnot. I had the VHS being like mailed out to coaches to be able to see me. So that, you know, that was difficult. And parents have so many questions. They don't know. They don't know what they need to do. They don't know who they need to contact. They don't know if their player, if their, you know, kid needs to or should be playing Division 1, or they shouldn't be, you know, in Division 1, 2, 3, maybe they need to go to a junior college, things along that nature. So it's a lot of not only misinformation, but no information. They're not sure. And a lot of parents are busy. You know, they work 1 to 2 jobs. They have multiple kids. So it's hard to be able to get all that information. And what we do so well is we have all that information. We're able to pass it to parents and let them know, you know, hey, your kid should be looking at these schools. Hey, this is the academics that they should be doing. And it's not like we hoard all that information. It's out there. We give that freely. When I go out to tournaments and showcases, I talk to parents all the time. I don't go sit on the coach's side with the players. I sit on the parents' side, and you know, some of them will come up and they'll ask questions. You know, what do you think? What should we be doing? Things along that nature. And I love talking to parents. I'm able to, you know, speak to them, give them information, let them know that, you know what, it's not just me. There's like a bunch of us that can give you information. I can give you a little bit, but there's, you know, Don, Andre, Ernie, all of us can give you lots and lots of information. So you're not stuck and you're not, you know, trying to figure out what the next step is for you.
And that's, I think that's the way that we work as a team. It helps that each of us have our own areas of expertise.
Absolutely. And I love being able to, you know, contact you guys. And if I have questions or when we have our meetings, you know, getting information with all the changes that are going to be coming up, being able to, you know, hear firsthand from you guys, well, what's going to be happening or what college coaches are saying. I love it. I love the fact that it's not just, you know, a little bit of information and then, you know, we got to get them in, but it's more of here's the information. We want to guide you as best as we can. And some parents will take that information and run with it. And they're like, thank you so much. While others, you know, that maybe not, maybe they want to do it themselves, or maybe the information given to them, they didn't like, for instance, if we think a player should be playing at a particular division or schools, versus what they're thinking. And that happens, and that's okay. That's, you know, their opinion. That's what they're thinking. By all means, you know, I'm not going to be upset if you don't take the information that I give you, but I'm here to help as much as I can because I know it's hard. And I want to be able to help as many kids as I can, whether they're clients or whether they're out there just trying to figure it out themselves.
Right on. So what, take me through an example, like what's your typical process? When do you get contacted by kids, or do you just talk to kids on the field? Do you just see players you like and approach them? How do you go about trying to figure out who you're trying to help? Because there's a lot of kids out there. There's a million players across the country.
Absolutely. And it's a combination of both. Sometimes players or parents will reach out, you know, via email, and they'll ask, hey, have a look at my highlight film. What do you think? You know, I'll have a look at that, look at their information that they sent, grades and so forth, and set up a call with them, a Zoom, and go over that information. Other times when I'm out at these showcases out here in Florida, I'll, you know, approach players that, you know, I like. I, you know, it's very easy to pinpoint which player is with which parent. So I'm able to walk up and find that, you know, I'm looking at number 15 that's playing center mid. I know where the mom is. I can find her and I'll go over and I'll talk to her or the dad, whoever's there, and talk to them about what are they thinking? Do they think they want to play in college? Are they thinking that they, you know, maybe they just don't want to do that. Maybe this is just for fun for now for them. Or yeah, they do want to play, but they don't know how to start the process. And it's kind of giving that information to them and letting them know, hey, we talked a little bit here. I know you guys are going to, you know, leave after the game and so forth, but if you want to reach out to me again, have more questions, please, you know, email me, call me, text me, and we'll talk some more. But it's more of just giving them as much information as I can and then letting them know the door's open if you have anything else. I have players that send me their highlight film and I'll say, hey, it's 10 minutes long. Let's cut that down. Or, hey, it's, you know, 2-3 minutes. These are the things that look really good in it. These are the things that don't look so good in it. And, you know, we'll talk about that that way. Other times parents just want to call and they just have, you know, a few questions on what they want to do with their, you know, son or daughter, or whoever it is, they're thinking about it, what should be their next steps. So it's a combination of a lot of things. I just try to help as much as I can with the parents and give them information.
And I know with your younger, like your younger players that maybe aren't ready yet, or that you're preparing to get into the, make their decision about college, you're doing things like watching film, right?
Oh, absolutely.
If you can't be at an event, because I've had parents contact me and say, well, great job Karen did. She's watching film of our player and then meeting with the player. So you're almost doing coaching, sort of, counseling, helping.
Absolutely. Right? Oh, for sure. I love watching film. I love sitting at my desk and being able to just see as much film as I can, whether it's my particular clients or if it's not. But a lot of the times they'll send me film and I'll break down film with them. I'll say, hey, this and this should be in your highlight film, you know, for your particular position, because as you know, what a striker does is different than what a defender, a midfielder, or a goalkeeper does. So we want to highlight, you know, the things that they do well. And then we'll talk about things that I see in the film, like, you know, this doesn't look so good. These are the things I think you should be working on, whether it's your accuracy, whether it's your fitness, whether it's distribution, whatever the case may be. I'll pull a few clips on that and I'll say, these are the things I think you should start looking at and work on. And if you want, we can help. I can give you suggestions on different drills that could help with that as well.
Yeah, I've always seen our job as kind of a holistic approach, right? We've got the first thing that I wanted to do when we started doing business here in North America is I wanted to provide our players with something that they didn't, that maybe they were missing along mm-hmm. the journey. And that's why I reached out to Dan Abrahams right away, right? And get one of the best sports psychologists in the world. And then Erica Sutter, have, you know, kids to have access to the correct information about strength training and conditioning. And then what you're offering is your experience to the players based on my experience, based on all the things that I've seen, all the games that I've played in, all the coaching that I've done. I think this might help you. And being able to give those that type of advice to a player, somebody who's been through it, who's been through the fire, came out the other side successful, and being able to pass on that information to players. I don't know, that's invaluable. It's a mentoring, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's not just soccer too. It's with a lot of the clients, well, I should say with all my clients, I touch base with them on a monthly basis, whether they're freshmen, whether they're seniors. We talk, I'll shoot them a text, I'll give them a call, we'll set up a Zoom, we'll go over film, fitness, we'll go over nutrition. Nutrition's a big thing. You know, what are you eating beforehand? Why do you look so tired? Why are you not drinking enough water? I had a team, a couple of players on a particular team. That team had like 6 ACL tears on that team. Like, we need to you not be one of them. What can we do to strengthen that? I have a senior that's going to college, and our biggest thing we talked about was the fitness test. You have to make sure that that's going to be something that you pass, because a lot of coaches, they'll give you a fitness packet and they'll say, we're going to do A, B, and C fitness tests. You got to pass 2 of the 3. And I get a text and it's, I ran the beep test and this is the level we need to be at. And I'm here, I'm already past that. And it's like, perfect. You're ready to go for the fall, but don't lose that. Keep it going. So it's
what a difference when I notice when a freshman comes in and they're confident and then they pass it, as opposed to someone, I'm so scared, because you can hear the kids, I'm so scared, I'm so nervous about the fitness test, and then they don't pass it. You just know, oh, they didn't do the prep work. That's why they're nervous. And then they aren't ready for this. But when you come in as a freshman and you pass the fitness test and you're confident and you carry yourself confidently, that's a player that the coach can begin to trust.
Absolutely. And
the playing time.
Oh, for sure. And players have to understand too, the climate as well, like going from Georgia to Nevada, that elevation, that first month. Oh my goodness. I walking up the stairs, I was dying. You'd think that I've never played soccer in my life, just trying to walk upstairs in my home. But being able to recognize that, you know, I have players that are up north and they want to come down to Florida. I'm like, you better set aside some time to come down here before preseason to know that it is hot, and Florida is its own heat down here.
I always tell kids, start doing push-up in the steam room, about 120 degrees. And so start doing push-ups and sit-ups in there and work out in there, and you'll start to get an idea of what it feels like. Yeah,
it's this whole, and I love what we do it because it's not just soccer related. It's a lot of stuff that we work with parents and players, and we help them not only develop as players but as people as well, letting them know it's not just soccer, it's academics too. You got to be happy where you're going. Yes, the coach loves you, yes, the program's great, but what about the academics? Are you going somewhere where maybe you don't know what you want to, you know, follow through with, which is perfectly fine, it happens. But is there an area, or do you like that they have an assortment of different programs that you might be interested in? Are you focused on the high academics, or you know, things along that nature? It's, we're giving them a lot of information to be able to make the, you know, the best decision for them, the right fit, as we always say. So I love the fact that it's not just soccer related. It's a lot more than that. Being able to help the parents and the players, give them that information, and then, you know, help anyone else that's available as well out there that's needing that.
As you said, a lot of our job is dispelling misconceptions. What would you say, in your experience, are some of the common misconceptions that are put out there by parents and players that you look at them and you go, I don't know, it might work for some, but that's not really the way it goes. That's not really the way it works. What are some of those common misconceptions you hear?
Well, I'm trying to pinpoint one. What I love about being down here is that we have so many different leagues that come through here. So it's not just that it's ECNL or nothing, that every college coach is just going to look at ECNL and that's it. It's not the case. There's plenty of players that play in different divisions that are good. And there may not be an ECNL team in your town, which happens, or they might be 2, 3 hours out. These parents can't drive, 4 days a week, 3 hours out, 3 hours back, almost every day to practices for their kids. So being in another league is okay. Being in a girls academy or E64 or anything like that, that's fine. As long as you're pushing yourself and you're doing well, and you're developing, coaches will come out to watch you play. And on top of that too, that's why we go out to all these events, because we can let the coaches know that there are players. It might not be the biggest event, but there are players here that may not be able to pay the thousands upon thousands of dollars to play, in the higher up leagues, ECNL and so forth. But they're still good. They're very good. When I started, we talked about the diamond in the rough, going out and being able to find a couple of players. I was at just currently at the USYS Nationals, handful of college coaches that were down there, not very many that I saw. And it could be a
That's what I
combination of,
heard. Yeah.
yeah, it could be a combination of a few things. Preseason's coming up. A lot of those coaches are focused on their team. So I get that. Others maybe not think that there's a lot of good players out there, but that's why we go out there and we find these players that are good, that coaches will look at, not just in one division, but across all divisions to be able to play at the next level, because they're good enough. They may not be able to play ECNL or MLS, but they for sure are good and they can compete. I was texting Andre. I asked him, there was a Vegas team that was down there winning 8-1, 6-0, 4-0, and they made it to the finals and won. I think it was like 3-1. Okay, so they're not an ECNL team, but I will guarantee that they will challenge a lot of ECNL teams. Absolutely, no doubt in my mind.
So no, when we go to ECNL events, we see that I always describe ECNL as look the and this wasn't we thought wasn't even mine. It was Steve Rollins, one of our other staff members, but he said the skids are greased. The skids are greased. In other words, you hold a national event and there's going to be 400 college coaches there. They're going to be there, and at least you got them into the complex. Now, what I've noticed when I go to the events is I go to the showcase games and the better teams in the country playing with the better players in the country playing. And yeah, there will be 100, 200 coaches around the field, usually watching the two or three national team players, frankly. But then you go eight, nine fields over and there's nobody there. There's no coaches there. Those teams aren't attractive. The players aren't as attractive as the national team players, or exciting, maybe is the right word, as the national team players are. And so they don't get that. And then certainly if you go to the RL event that's going on the same weekend, 18 miles away, there's 5 college, 10, maybe very few, not that many. And like you said, you go to the US National League event, and there's not that many, 25, 30, 40, not maybe, maybe in and out, not that many. So, I mean, I have my ways of doing it, but I'm curious how you do it. How do you get those players, those clients that you have that are not part of the top BCNL teams? How do you get college coaches to pay attention to them? Because I always describe our job, Karen, as sort of like, I don't know, we work for a company and we hear human resources is hiring for a position. We've got a friend that is perfectly hand-tailored for that position, would crush it in the job. The company would love him. All of us would look good. And we're taking that resume and we're walking it into human resources. Go, do me a favor, take a look at this one. And yes, there's 100 resumes on the pile that need to be read still. But if you know that human resource person and they trust you, they'll pick up the resume and they'll take a look at it and they'll go, oh, thank you. And that person will be part of the interview process, right? They get an opportunity that they may or may have not gotten on their own. I don't know. But we're guaranteeing that they get at least a look. Right.
Absolutely.
So
And I think that's
how do
what it
you
is.
do
It's
that?
so when I have my clients, before we even do anything, before I sign them, before we do anything, it's a bit of a process. I'm not gung-ho to jump and be like, yes, I'm going to sign you. I'm going to have 100 clients and we're going to figure it out. It's more of a process of, okay, I've watched you play. I've talked to you. I've talked to your parents. And now we're talking about what you're looking academically. What are we, you know, what are your strengths? Is there a particular area of the country that you want to be in? Like, some don't want to leave the state, some don't care, some, you know, just want to be west, some want to be east, whatever the case may be, but trying to get all everything that we're talking about, what makes them comfortable, and then saying, okay, this is what we're looking at. Here are some schools. Let's have a look at those schools. XYZ school, all, you know, 10, 15 different schools that kind of match what they're thinking. What do you think about these ones? Okay, you like some of them, you don't. Well, XYZ, they need a striker. They need a goalkeeper. Maybe their coach is going to be, you know, they haven't been doing so well, but this last season they did super well, but they still need someone that can finish for them. Things along that nature, just being able to get all that information that, you know, we have as a company, saying, hey, these coaches are looking for players. My particular player can fit some of these molds, but then also researching these schools on my own as well. And saying, you know, I've watched these guys play. This is what, you know, they need. Reach out to the coach. Hey, I have a 24 goalkeeper that does XYZ really, really well. I see that you have, you know, two sophomores and whatnot, but you have like 20 goals scored against you. Have a look at this one. What do you think about this goalkeeper? And then, you know, kind of going from there, but that's building that, that trust with a lot of these college coaches, where they already know a lot of us. They know you, they know Andre, they know that when we recommend a player, when we're talking about a particular player, they're going to get a quality player. And the biggest thing I always tell coaches is, it's not just a player on the field, it's a person, it's academics as well. You have a high academic player that is going to do phenomenal in the classroom for you and on the field. It's not just this great player that has, you know, a 2.0 GPA, could barely attend any classes. It's someone that is committed, that wants to play at the next level, that has great academics, wants to be there, wants to,
right,
that knows that it's not just soccer. It's school. You're a student athlete. You're student first. And that's the biggest thing. And I think that's where a lot of coaches trust us, knowing that we're going to give them a person, a student athlete that's going to come in there and lead by example. And that's where that trust comes. And, you know, I've only been here for just over a year. So my first class of 24s are going to go through, and I think they're going to do well. I think a lot of them are going to surprise the coaches, both on the field and in the classroom. And they're going to do well. And I'm excited because the schedules keep dropping, and I already printed them, ready to go, ready to watch them play.
So you're going to follow your kids even after they're in college.
Absolutely.
And see how they do.
Yep, I have a kid out west, kid that's not too far from me, and then a kid a little bit like midway. So and a kid overseas too. He's going to come back and play in the springtime. But yeah, they're all over the place, and I'm excited. I have the schedules ready to go. I know if I can either go and watch them play, or I can watch them on, you know, Hulu, ESPN, whatever the case may be, and watch them.
Yeah, it's funny. That's one of the things that I enjoy about our job too, is I really love watching these kids go on and succeed, and watching. In fact, I was at the county fair the other day and ran into one of my former players, and I've been never expected to, from the Bay Area, and to see what they've gone on to do with their life, and to see their kids and watch them succeed in life is one of the most rewarding parts of coaching, but then also what we do in our job, because we're one of their coaches, you know. Yep. We're one of their coaches providing different types of things, but we become part of their, as Andre likes to say, part of their team, right?
Absolutely.
Part of their team, helping to guide them along the way. Well, that's so great.
Yeah, and it's great. And being able to, like, I still keep in contact with some of my former teammates and seeing what they've done, whether it's, you know, they stayed in soccer or they're doing something outside of soccer, being able to see, you know, yes, they played in college, they played soccer in college, but they're doing a ton outside of, you know, physical therapists. Some of them could, U.S. national team recruits, you know, coming back playing club, or I'm sorry, coaching club, being in the art, like, they're just everywhere. They're everywhere doing what they wanted to do in college. They were successful on the field and especially in the classroom, and they're doing great things, and being able to see that is just wonderful. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to the alumni weekend, but I'm hoping I can go this year to be able to see them face to face, and not just, you know, on social media and texting and emailing.
Yeah, maybe you can make it out here. We can keep our wildfires under control, for Pete's sake. Crazy. Yeah. So, what are the plans? Your plans for the rest of the summer? Do you have any events that are coming up?
So USYS just finished. That was a great event. There was a couple of teams from Kansas that I absolutely love. The Vegas team, what I was talking to Andre about, which he knows the coach. They're going to do some awesome things. But right now, as preseason is happening, there's nothing too crazy yet. You know, a lot of teams are just starting their training. Some of them are off right now because they, you know, went so far, playoffs and so forth. So they're taking a break. But I'm excited. I joined a club team. I met the owner by chance, and we talked about the lack of like the first touch and how we're kind of behind a little bit with a lot of the other countries. And he talked about what he pushes with his club. And I was in love. I was like, you're awesome. The fact that you're saying this, and you know what, a lot of people can talk a big game, but I was able to actually go and physically watch and see what he's talking about. And he's spot on. What I see down here a lot is if you're U14, U15, U16, and you don't have a first touch, tough. We're not going to teach you any more of that. We're just going to move on to what you should know at 14, 15, 16. But if they don't have a first touch, how can you show them more? How can, like, they can't receive a pass. They don't check their shoulder to see what's going on. How can you teach them more if they can't do the basic, right?
So it's said without technique, there is no tactics.
Exactly.
You can tactic yourself to death. If you can't technically manipulate the ball and do what you want with the ball, you're not going to tactic anything.
And that's what he does is all of his coaches are on the same page with, we have to make sure that their touch and it's something that they have to be able to do to be able to move forward. And I have the preteens, which I'm very excited about on the girls' side. I have a couple of teams I'm going to be working with, and I'm running the summer camp for the girls this week, actually. And we were juggling for the first 30 minutes. I'm like, we're touching that soccer ball, and that's what's going to happen for 30 minutes. I don't care if you can only do one. By the end of the week, you will not, it'll be more than one, trust me. But being able to, you know, we have to be able to get that first touchdown, being able to receive the pass, check your shoulder, look what we're doing, not just put your head down and look at the soccer ball. You have to get your head up and see what's going on the field. So that's a big thing. And I'm very, very excited to be able to do that this fall. On top of obviously, watching my kids and, getting them, you know, finding the right fit for my 25s, and then, you know, talking to my 24s and 26s and see how they're doing, or sorry, 27s and 28s, how they're doing, and 26s.
Yes. So, you know, parents are going to listen to this. Some of them are going to want to get a hold of you because they're going to, what you've said is going to resonate with them. What's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Oh, email me. My phone is attached to me, like to my hip. So once you email me, you will get an email or a phone call back that day. And we will talk. We'll talk about film. We'll talk about, you know, what your daughter or your son are looking for and guide you with all the knowledge that I have, all the knowledge that is passed down to me from all of our SRUSA member or consultants, you and everybody else, and giving them that information, try to help them, guide them finding the right fit moving forward.
All right. So email, and your email address is?
Karen@srusasoccer.com.
And then I think you're on Twitter.
Yep. I'm on Twitter.
How do they follow you on Twitter?
It is, I believe it's @Karen. And then my last name, ZMIRAK. That's my handle on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, on Facebook. If anyone goes to the SRUSA's social media, I follow them, so you can find me that way as well.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, go have a great day in beautiful Florida.
Absolutely. I think it's starting to rain, so it's going to probably rain for about 5-10 minutes, and then it'll be all right.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah. Back and forth in the summertime. That's great. All right, Karen. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Don.
All right. Bye-bye.